listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp. It is Tuesday here on a day in Oswego State, live from WNYO Studios. It's the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour. Aaron Valentino alongside Brandon Ladd with you here today. Brandon, how are you feeling on a Tuesday?
Feeling wonderful on this Tuesday. Feels good to be back in the studio. We got one more this week. We have tomorrow off.
Yeah, we're going to take tomorrow off. Tomorrow's a crazy day. We'll get into why it's a crazy day a little bit later. But yeah, taking tomorrow off. I will be back at it on Thursday after today. I'm drinking some water out of my lovely new Oswegonian mug.
Don't tell Ben Grieco.
Yeah, Ben, if you're listening, I took one of the mugs, and you're just going to have to deal with it. Actually, I think Ben might not be listening. I think he's actually covering some live sports today over at the Palatine, which is super exciting. We have another guest today, a little bit of an impromptu guest. I didn't know if he was coming in today or Thursday. Please welcome new WNYO member, Alex. Say your last name.
Abramovich.
I told you I wasn't going to be able to say it on there. Alex, why don't you tell the people at home about yourself a little bit?
Yeah, so as I like I said, I'm Alex. Sorry for coming in a little later. I was a little busy with something, but I'm glad to be here. From Long Island, New York.
Ooh, where on Long Island?
Suffolk County, Rocky Point.
Yep, okay. We're familiar with the area.
Where are you guys from?
I'm from New Jersey, which is super weird. Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. And Ladd?
I'm from upstate. I'm right near Lake George, but my girlfriend lives in Nassau County.
I thought Brianna lived in Suffolk County.
No, right near the line.
Oh, right on the line. So we have a lot to get to today and a little time to do it. Alex is going to be joining us for the entire hour today. Then at 3:55, when we get out of here, the Hot Corner with Jake Johnson and Michael Gross, they are coming your way over at 4. Let's get into what happened last night and today. A lot of stuff happened today. First things first, the Oswego State Athletic Department announced today that fans will be back in the stands for this coming fall, which I assume that also means they'll be back in the Murano Campus Center Ice Arena come wintertime. Fans don't have to wear masks outdoors. They're encouraged to wear a mask, and they're also encouraged to socially distant when they are indoors at Maxfield Gymnasium for the volleyball games. The volleyball games this fall, starting tomorrow at 7:00 over on Stream 2 here on WNYO, fans will be required to wear masks in that area. Brandon, it's just super exciting that we're going to have fans back in the stands at Laker athletic events this year.
Yeah, think of the last time we saw this. It was March of 2020. It's been the whole entire pandemic. We've been waiting. We did have some fans last year.
Well, yeah, some
on private property.
On private property,
yes.
There definitely were some fans, but not in the stands. And we're just excited to have them back. Alex, it's such a different feeling when fans are in the stands at any sporting event. We've realized that in professional sports already, and to get them back in college sports for the parents and things like that, for fans to be back is super exciting.
Yeah, no. So did you call the games? Like, was there anything last year?
Yeah, so last year when we did the games, there was no fans in the Laker Turf. I don't know if you've ever been, but Laker Turf has bleachers. It's bleachers that sit right in front of the press box where we do the broadcast. There was nobody allowed there. There was, however, on the other in front of the bleachers of the field, and then beyond the field, there's a line, and it was actually marked out by flags, and it was technically private property, so fans and parents would watch from that side of the fence, which was really funny. Ladd and I would always make jokes about the fans who would illegally watch the games.
I'll never forget Oswego State Cortland. It was the big Friday night game. It was 8:00, and as the sun is going down during warm-ups, I'm looking out there and I'm like, oh, there's people out there. And then I look out again and there's 75 people watching the game.
Yeah, there's 75 people out there watching the game.
We hope to pack the stands, though. It's an exciting time. Oswego State Athletics, as we have said so many times, it's been such a long wait to get the fans back, but it really makes a difference in this community.
Oh, yeah, it definitely makes a difference to the community. And we're excited for fans to return to the Murano Campus Center Ice Arena this winter. It's going to be a super exciting time. Over to the professional world now, the Yankees. Alex, they've lost their third straight game. They lose to the Angels last night by a final score of 8-7. It looked like they were, doing pretty well. And then in the fourth inning, Corey Kluber kind of implodes a little bit, lets up 5 runs in one inning. Kluber's final line last night, 4 innings, 5 hits, 5 earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts.
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, he looked so good, too, to start the game. And then, like you said, he kind of just lost it. And I'm not really sure what happened. The switch flipped off. I mean, they went 13 in a row, and the last three games, I mean, the two games prior to this one, the offense was just not there, and now the pitching implodes. I mean, they're still, you know, playing well, obviously, 13 of the last 16, but if Tampa Bay keeps playing this well, they're kind of I guess the division's like an afterthought at this point.
The Yankees are 7 games back of the division. The Rays are 83-48. The Yankees are 76-55. The Rays have won 8 in a row, 9 of their last 10, and the Yankees currently sit 7 behind the Rays. And in the wild card, they're 2 up on the Boston Red Sox. Boston has the second wild card spot. 2 games up over the Oakland Athletics line.
Yeah, and it just wasn't Kluber last night. The Yankees come back in this game. They're able to tie it up in the fifth, and then bottom of the fifth, here comes Heaney, who's recently moved to the bullpen out of the starting lineup, and he gives up a run. Okay, he gives up a second run in the sixth. The Yankees come back, tied in the seventh, and then Wandy Peralta ends up with the loss. Big storyline from this game, I cannot believe it, Ohtani, 42nd home run of the season.
We haven't talked about Ohtani yet on the show, but he's like from another planet. Him and Jacob DeGrom, I'm convinced, are from entirely different
planets. He has like 20 stolen bases too, which I had no idea.
I know. He's the best. He's probably, I said this the other night and nobody could really argue with me, he's probably the best thing to happen to baseball since Mike Trout's rookie season.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's a fair point.
Is there any other like player who has made this big an impact on the game as much as Ohtani has in one season?
I can't think of it.
Yeah, you can't think of anybody else other than Mike Trout. And it's a shame that the Angels are a black hole.
It's true.
Top heavy.
It's actually unbelievable how bad the Angels are. But they're going to win last night over the Yankees. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. And finally, the biggest piece of news coming out of the NFL today, the Patriots officially release Cam Newton. A little bit of a surprising move, but then when you realize Bill Belichick is the one making that move, it's not all that surprising. Cam Newton released from the Patriots. A new era has begun in the AFC East, lad.
A new era has begun, and as you said, later in the show, we're going to talk about this new faces of the AFC East, and the Patriots have their new face this year in Mac Jones. And I think this release isn't anything against Cam Newton. It's just an understanding that a 32-year-old Cam Newton's not going to hold a clipboard for 17 weeks this season. Let him go. Let him see if he can find an injury replacement spot at some point in the season. But Bill Belichick has his guy in Mac Jones, and it's a bit terrifying because Mac Jones was very good at Alabama, and now Bill Belichick has his guy.
Alex, I'm a New York Jets fan.
I'm sorry.
And I know, I'm sorry too. I want no part of Bill Belichick and Mac Jones in my division. And the league made a mistake by letting Mac Jones fall to 15 into Bill Belichick's hands in my eyes.
No, I agree. And plus, I think it what makes things worse is that he has the Nick Saban connection too. So he goes right from Saban to Belichick, and it's just, oh man. Yeah, I don't like it either.
It's literally like he's like, I don't know if we can necessarily say draft another Tom Brady, but like think about it. Tall, stocky white guy who's got like no personality, who like Belichick could manipulate into doing his biddings for him. Like it's all like the script is writing itself over again, it seems like.
It does. The one thing that slows the roll here, him coming in, weapons still aren't there.
Yeah, they got a little bit of work to do.
They do have a little bit of work to do, but offensive line, running game, it's probably going to be there. Now they're a little bit more dimensional than they were when they had Cam last year. So we'll see what happens. This team last year went 7-9. We cannot forget about that. They were in the playoff race until week 13 and 14 of the season. So don't write off the Patriots yet.
I never write off the Patriots. I never write off Bill Belichick. I never write off Tom Brady either. And I tried to last year. It didn't go well.
No.
That's as everybody knows. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, is 5.5 games a race? That's the question that I'll be asking Brandon Ladd and Alex. The Yankees, they've lost 3 straight games. They're now 7 games back of the division. Who's got a better shot at the division? Mets are also 7 games back heading into today. And the AFC East, we're entering a new era. What does that mean for the next 20 years of the AFC East division? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour right here on 88.9 WNYO, the Laker Radio Network.
Hey. Yeah, I bet you do.
Hey And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYL 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. A little Machine Gun Kelly and Halsey, who, fun fact, Brandon Ladd knows this because I've told him it a million times, but Alex does not know this. Halsey actually grew up in the town where I'm currently living. I didn't live there up until about a year ago, but the town over from me, from where I grew up, Hackettstown High School, she went to.
Oh, really?
Yes. Hackettstown is now the town that I currently live in. We moved there over the summer. Parents got a new house, which was super, super exciting. And yeah, Halsey's family still lives there, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, she is a North Jersey girl at heart.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. You've heard this story a million
times.
I have to tell everybody anytime. Listen, Halsey makes some bangers. You can't deny it.
Yeah, she does. But, I mean...
She's not Olivia Rodrigo.
No, she's not Olivia Rodrigo. And has she ever flexed that she's from North Jersey?
Yeah, she talks about it.
Just lightly. Passing conversation.
She mentions it on Twitter all the time, how she's like a North Jersey girl.
Yeah. So I wonder if she's ever pumped her gas in her life.
Jake's claiming Halsey's not that good, which is wrong. It's incorrect. Halsey's great. Alex, who do you like better, Halsey or Demi Lovato?
Oh, Halsey, yeah.
Yeah. See?
But let's think about Halsey here. I feel like her career was elevated because of how mad at G-Eazy she was after they broke up.
Yeah, but Olivia Rodrigo's whole career is because she's mad at Joshua Bassett.
I guess that's a fair point.
That's literally her entire... We're big Olivia Rodrigo fans on this show, by the way. Good For You is the greatest song ever written. That's not true.
It is a banger, though.
It is. It is an absolute banger. It gets me fired up every time. But, you know, the Mets need to listen to some Good For You because they need to get fired up and get going. We had a little bit of controversy yesterday. We talked about on the show how Javi Baez and Francisco Lindor were booing fans. They actually released an apology today, not only to the media, but on social media as well, apologizing to fans for what they did. There was no word on how the, quote, in-person meeting between Sandy and the players went. I did not see how that went. Nobody reported anything of how it went. But the Mets got to get back to winning baseball games. And the only reason we're really even talking about them possibly, being able to make the playoffs is because they've got a 15-game stretch that they're, you know, at the very beginning of right now. They've played three of the games. They got 15 straight against the Marlins and Nationals. And Alex, when you play teams like that for that long, you have a chance to go on a run and possibly, you know, get back in this race.
No, yeah, definitely for sure. Like, I mean, especially like I feel like three of the teams in that division right now, the Phillies, Nationals, and Marlins are kind of at this point where you have to, like you said, you have to win those games now because the Braves have done their job against those teams. The Phillies were, and then, you know, they've kind of imploded themselves. But, yeah, this is a big stretch for them. I agree.
And it's one of those things where the Nationals and Marlins, we say it every single week, and we'll say it till October, the Nationals and Marlins have given up on 2021. So it's highly worrisome, Aaron, when the Marlins are beating the Mets 3-1 right now. We won't talk about it, though. Mets have 16 innings today to figure it out. If they get two wins today against the Marlins, though, I guess it's a race. But I got to agree with Fanatics right now with that, or Fangraphs, my bad.
What are they at, 2% today to make the playoffs? Yeah, no, it's going to take a miracle. Yes. But, you know, the Mets, they play two games today. Like they said, they play a 9-inning game and then a 7-inning game over at 7 o'clock. That first game was a suspended game from April 11th, which is crazy. That first game from April 11th, they're currently losing in that one 3-1 in the top of the 6th inning. Mets only run is a Jonathan VR, surprise, surprise, a Jonathan VR home run. They've got a couple more innings to figure it out, though. But... you know, here's the question that I will pose to you and the question we're going to be asking today. And Brandon, we'll start with you. Is 5.5 games on September 1st a race? The way the Mets do that today is if they sweep this doubleheader against the Marlins and the Braves lose tonight to the first place Los Angeles Dodgers, the Mets will be 5.5 games back on September 1st.
In theory, yes, it is a race.
That's it? You don't want to expand on that?
Well, it will get back to me, but I think, Alex, you agree with me. if they can get within 5.5 and the fact that they play the Braves the last three games of the season, all you got to do is be within 3. I mean, it's going to take a miracle to win 3 against the Braves, but in theory, all you have to do is make up 2.5 games if you're only 5.5 back.
No, yeah, I totally agree. I think the Yankees are actually like in a very similar spot. They're a little bit farther back than the Mets are, in their division at least. I believe the Yankees play the Rays for the last three games of the season.
Yes,
so
the Yankees would have to be within 3 yes. of the last series of
Our
the season.
Our magic number this yes. year is 3.
Yeah, the magic number by magic number for the Mets and the Yankees is to be within 3 games of the Rays and Braves by October 1st, which would be nuts.
Isn't it crazy, though, that this is the craziest thing to me, that the Mets and the Yankees are the same games behind.
I know.
They're division leaders right now.
It just shows you that the National League is just so much worse than the American League at the moment.
And for some reason, one team has a 92.9% chance to make the playoffs. The other has a 2.6. So it is pretty extreme and different.
It also shows how good the Rays are.
Yes.
I mean, the Rays are really freaking good.
Are they the best record? No, Giants have the best record, right?
I think it's still the Giants.
Giants by a game.
Yeah, Giants by a game. Okay. Giants currently sit at 84-47, which is just so insane. The Dodgers are at 83-49. The Tampa Bay Rays sit at 83-48. But yeah, I mean, listen, the New York Mets, they gotta win. But in order to be 5.5 games back, they gotta win this game today. And you have to beat teams like the Marlins. We're gonna be talking about it for the next 2 weeks about how you have to beat these teams. And you know, I watched the first inning of this game today. The Mets got runners on the corners with one out, with Pete Alonso and Jeff McNeil at the plate, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't get a run in. It blows my mind. Jeff McNeil, by the way, you know, we like to talk about Francisco Lindor doing poorly. We like to talk about Javi Baez doing poorly. Jeff McNeil is batting 198 this season with runners
is
in scoring
really?
Position. And Jeff McNeil is a career, keep in mind, a career, Alex, 320 hitter.
I was going to say, didn't he, like, was in the race for the batting title or
yeah.
was it right up there?
Yeah. Oh in his God. First full season in 2019, he was in the race for a batting title. Jeff McNeil has been awful this year for the New York Mets. He's arguably been worse than Francisco Lindor and Javi Baez.
And you would never realize it because the limelight's not on him. But still, McNeil, again, we put him in the list of if he's having a better season, the Mets would be having a better season.
It's a lot of I mean, the only one, again, we talked about this yesterday. They're just not hitting. You look at Jeff McNeil's number this season, 1.31 F4, 6 homers with a .247 batting average. That's not like Jeff McNeil at all. Slugging .358, that's not like Jeff McNeil at all. A .678 OPS and an .88 OPS plus. Jeff McNeil's career,
yes,
OPS plus. Which, again, it's pretty much the same. It's very similar to ERA plus for pitchers. 75 is really bad. 100 is perfectly average. And 125 and above, you're like an all-star. Jeff McNeil's career OPS plus is 127.
Yeah.
And he's at 88 at the moment.
Oh, yeah. You could find a lot of the Mets right now between 85 and 95, but it is pretty drastic. Same with Conforto this year. It's just...
Well, Conforto, yeah, he's...
They set higher bars in past seasons, and now they've come down. It's a big reason why the Mets are behind the Orioles, the Marlins, blah, blah, blah. Name a team. They're behind them when it comes to runs this year. 29th in the MLB. So if the Mets are going to figure it out, this is a big hypothetical, but we're saying 5.5 is a race. You got to make up 2.5 games before the calendar flips. You got to win today. And you got to start scoring more runs.
I know, but how long, you know, at what point do we say, all right, the Mets just aren't going to score runs this season? We're in August. We're on the last day of August.
Today's pivotal.
Today's pivotal.
If they lose both games today, just shut it down. Yeah. We'll pack it in. We won't do a show in September.
And again, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but, you know, at the same time, you know, there's still light at the end of the tunnel. And if Jacob DeGrom comes back mid-September, and they're 3 games back, 4 games back, not even. If they're 4 games back on September 13th, when Jacob DeGrom is scheduled to come back, they're in it. Anytime the best player in the world, or best pitcher in the world, I should say, is coming back and you're 4 games out with 2 weeks to go, you could do it.
But Alex, they can't manhandle it because when DeGrom comes back from injury, it isn't like you can do 3 days rest with him. Like a normal season, if he was healthy, you could manhandle this a bit, get DeGrom coming up to the top of the rotation a bit more, but this year, not so much.
Do you think they give him an innings limit? Like,
I don't
five
know.
Max?
Only he knows.
They're in a tough spot, I think, because I know for a fact that the front office believes that they can still make a run because of this 15-game stretch between the Marlins and Nationals. And the reason why I know that is because they're still trying to get back Syndergaard, even though he's on the COVID IL now. Not even anything with his elbow. He literally tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. They want Jacob DeGrom to come back in the middle of September. This is how you know. If the Mets front office thought they were done, they would have announced 2 weeks ago that Jacob DeGrom is done for the year.
Yeah.
Because if they actually think they're out of it, what's the point in pitching Jacob DeGrom the last 2 weeks of the season?
That's a very fair point, and that's only the Mets know the answer right now, and I'm sure they're getting reports from DeGrom and Syndergaard, hey, we actually want to make a run here.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. Mets currently down 3-1 in the sixth inning. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the show. By the way, Francisco Lindor, OPS Plus this year at 90. WAR is at 2.2, which is a whole game better than Jeff McNeil. Yep. And F WAR, I think, is even better, which I actually like better because that takes into account defensive metrics. I would love to do a whole episode on that. Just like F war versus R war. It's a very fascinating conversation to me. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss the New York Yankees and their upcoming game tonight against the Los Angeles Angels at 10 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker. We talked about her earlier. We had to play her.
Yes, we did.
Olivia Rodrigo, good for you. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Alex, say your last name.
Abramovich.
See, I'm never going to get it. Abramovich. I'm so bad. It's actually really incredible how horrible I am with names. Yeah. Like, I feel like people get offended. I don't know anybody's name. I don't know how to pronounce anybody's name. Like, Abramovich. Right?
Abramovich.
It's actually so embarrassing how bad I am. Like,
Do you know my name?
Brandon Ladd.
Yes.
You know, I see you 24 hours a day.
How long did it take you to get my name down?
Yours isn't that hard.
No. And it helps that I only go by a four-letter word.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of our friends have very simple names. Like, you know, Jake Johnson.
Yes. That's as plain Jane as it gets.
Kevin Bennett.
Yes. Brendan Van Auken's a little harder.
Yeah, Van Auken's a little harder, but like that's like separated, I guess. So it's like
Benny Thatcher. Benny, like my life is
Thatcher's
so easy.
A little weird.
Brett Champion.
Yeah, that's easy, right?
Yeah,
there's no like, you know, Jake Johnson's as plain Jane as plain Jane as it gets. Mike Marano was easy because he is literally the founder of the Marano kid. That's not true, Alex.
No. Don't fall for that.
No, don't fall for that. He'll try to tell you that's true, but it's not true.
Pat O'Chang, that's a little harder.
That's a little harder, yeah.
Matt Wadling.
Pat O'Chang took me a while to
to
realize how it was pronounced and all that good stuff. But we had to play her. She's still not in the system. Sky.
Ridiculous. Sky, wake up,
Sky. We got to get her in here. We got to get Kiss Me More in here. We got to get all the songs from the summer in here.
Yeah, she's slacking.
I know. It's unbelievable.
By the time she gets the summer songs in, where are the fall songs going to go?
You're right. Exactly. Sky, get on it. We need all of Sour in the wide orbit system.
We need all of Donda.
By the way, all of Donda as well.
By Thursday.
What did you think of Donda?
It was pretty like okay.
It was okay. Did you like it? Like, what is your final review of it?
So, going on hour 13 of listening to it now, I need to do a full review of it Thursday for my show at the Ladd and Abbey Experience. Make sure you listen at 5 p.m. Yeah. But after listening to every song 7 times, I must say that some are good and some are just horrible.
So, like, every album that's ever been created?
No. Kanye's, because it's 26 songs, I would say there's...
It's 26 songs?
26 songs, so you really gotta go digging for the good songs. I would say there's 9 good songs, 17 bad songs.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, probably. I'd probably say there's more bad songs than 17, because I didn't like it that much.
Did you like Jesus is King?
No.
Well, there you go. Well, I was the biggest Jesus is King fan of all time.
Vlad enjoyed Jesus is King.
Yeah, it was a good album to me.
He had a good time.
Yeah.
He had a good time with it.
The sound effects and everything.
By the way, if we're really going to do Laker Fest again, which nobody wants to do.
We did it.
Or not Laker Fest. What is it? Ozfest.
Yes.
I already forgot the name.
Yeah.
You had Trippy Red last year. I'm begging you, get Olivia Rodrigo to Oswego, New York this year. Get her here.
The Gonium.
I'll give up the whole sports budget.
Aaron, don't be saying things like that. The Oswegonium will be closing its doors if we pay for Olivia Rodrigo to show up.
I know. I don't know what this text from Jake is. It says, we don't appreciate the names. That their names are very simple.
Yeah.
It's not Ambrovich.
Abramovich. Oh, my Lord.
I know. See, it's bad.
Now, like, can you say...
Abramovich.
So, the Vich ending, it makes me think of Zlatan Ibrahimovic as the soccer player. Can you say his name?
Say the soccer player's name?
Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, okay, there you go. I don't remember how to say it. Okay. All right. Here's the deal. The Yankees, they've now lost 3 straight games after winning 13 games in a row. Last night, we kind of looked at the score, and we looked really early on, granted.
Yes.
But we thought that, the Yankees were going to get this thing done. Corey Kluber looked like he was cruising right along. And then at the fourth inning, Alex, he blew up.
Yeah, it was really tough to watch. I'm not shocked because he did miss. So, he missed a
huge chunk of time. Was this his first start back from the IL?
Yeah, he had just gotten activated. So I think Boone should have... Because honestly, when I was watching the game, I could kind of tell that he was starting to lose it. I would have liked if they yanked him a little bit earlier, but, I understand why they didn't. But the bullpen also needed to be better last night. But the last 3 games have been real tough to watch after 13 in a row.
Yeah, after 13 in a row.
Amazing, yes.
But, Aaron, I say it every single day, and I fill it in every single day. Expectations is what do I say?
I don't know.
I messed it up for once.
Expectations
is the root of all heartache. I said it perfectly for 2 years, and then I mess it up today. Yeah. But they win 13 games in a row. You're expecting them.
Win,
you expect them to win, so it makes this a little bit more painful. Mm. When they were doing this in May, it's like, oh, we only lost by 1. That's a moral victory. But right now, it's kind of painful to see them lose games. Schedule turns even easier, though, which is crazy to think about. So there's a good chance they right the ship and can get right back on another run.
Yeah, you got 2 more against the Angels at 9:38 tonight. That's so weird. Why are they starting a game at 6:38 in Los Angeles? That's bizarre.
Is really weird.
Oh, that's bizarre.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Then a 7 o'clock game. It'll be a 4 o'clock game West Coast time. But then, you got 3 against the Orioles. You got 4 against the Blue Jays. 3 against the Mets. and then another 3 against the Orioles. 3 against... Oh, my God.
That's nice.
Oh, God. I did not realize how easy this get.
Wow. Oh, yeah. 19 is right back in the picture.
Should they even, play these games? Should they just, take the month off and, get ready for the playoffs?
They might as well.
Oh, my God. That's completely unfair. The Yankees now sit 7 back of the Rays. And looking at the schedule, we talked about it with the Mets. Mets are 7 games back coming in today. Alex, we'll start with you. Can the Yankees actually make a comeback in this division? Rays, granted, much better team than the Braves are.
I do think they can. I think this stretch is nice. They haven't played that great against the Blue Jays this year, and right now the last 3 games haven't looked too hot. But I do think they can. It's all going to depend on how Tampa does, and they've just been rolling, and they're just a great team. But I do think they can. Yes.
I'll answer it with this. Of course, all you gotta do is make up 4 before that final series of the year. Schedule turns easier. That's in your favor. Also, the Italian duo of Rizzo and Gallo. They didn't have that great of an August, but recent games, they've been hitting a little better, so that helps.
Yeah.
Italian Stallions.
Yeah, no, the we call them the power-hitting Italians on this show.
Okay.
Yeah, like Italian Stallions does work.
The Italian
work,
Stallions
though.
Is way better, though.
Joey from the Bronx.
Joey from the Bronx. My grandpa refers to him as Joey from the Bronx, which is great. I find that great. But if the Yankees can't win the division, Alex, again, you're our guest, so we have to ask you all these questions. Who would you want to face in the wild card?
So, obviously, like, you know, the thought of them beating the Red Sox in the wild card game is just...
It's so awesome.
Yeah, that'd feel great. And there's this one guy from Barstool Sports, big-time Red Sox fan, that I just...
Jared Carrabas?
Yep. Yeah. I go after him on Twitter. It's my favorite. It's my favorite thing to do, honestly. So if they were to beat him, oh, my God, that would be the best thing in the world. But also the thought of them losing to the Red Sox in the wild card game is probably the worst thing that could possibly happen. So I think I'd probably want to play the A's.
Yeah, huge A's fan. I might even be rooting for the Mariners down the stretch. Actually, book me on that. We are rooting for the Mariners.
Obviously, you would want the Mariners out of all the teams that you... You know, that you have a chance to play in the wild card game.
Let me give this a picture right now. Yankees up by 2 on the Red Sox. Red Sox hold that second wild card. A's 2 back. Blue Jays 4.5 back. Watch out. They got 9 against Baltimore. I've been saying that. Mariners 4.5 back. So it's still a race.
No, it's still a race. I think, you know, the Yankees have just turned around. And, like, they're the team that, like, we thought they would be at the beginning of the season. They're not, like... You know, it's not like they're struggling anymore. They're just playing consistent baseball. Not the last three games, but they're playing more consistent baseball.
Yeah, they are. And what did Dennis Green once say famously on the podium after a Monday night football game? They are who we thought they were.
Yeah.
And the Yankees are.
Yeah, that's exactly right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Cam Newton has been released by the New England Patriots. It's a new era in the AFC East, and what does that mean for all four of the teams in there, including the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets? Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Bougie like Natty in the styrofoam, squeaking in the trumpet all the way home. Welcome back to Sports Hour. Oh, I turned down the wrong fader. Welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd. And Alex Abramovich. Abramovich.
Much better.
With us today. I didn't realize this guy, this Applebee's TikTok song, and I don't have TikTok, by the way. Alex, you have TikTok?
I do, but I don't use it very often.
You don't have TikTok, right? I didn't realize that this TikTok song, like, actually sang, like, we're fancy like Applebee's.
Oh,
this is why people don't like country music.
What's wrong with it?
Let's fancy think. Like Applebee's. Think about that statement.
Let's think of some of the greatest country songs of all time. It's simple. Fancy like Applebee's. Drink a beer. I can't think of any others.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Right. This is why. Because they sing nonsense like this, Alex.
No, I agree. I'm not a fan of country.
It's just absolutely ridiculous. We're fancy like Applebee's.
On a Friday night. I don't even think that's the word.
The only reason to ever go to Applebee's ever is to get half abs. That's it.
Yeah.
There's no other reason.
Still have not done that in my life.
Yeah, I know. And you still haven't even done it. You've still, like, have you even been to an Applebee's?
Yes, I've been to an Applebee's. I'm fancy like that.
Yeah. it's just so embarrassing for everybody involved. All right. The Patriots, they released Cam Newton today. Very, very interesting day. A little bit of a surprise, I might say. By the way, Mets are losing 5-1 in the sixth inning. The Marlins just scored 2 more runs. So, you know, that whole discussion, how we had, they could be 5.5 games back by September 1st. I don't think it's going to happen because they're definitely not winning today. They got one more, and the Braves play at 10 o'clock tonight. But Cam Newton, back to the NFL. Cam Newton released by the Patriots today, making Mac Jones QB1 for week one of the NFL season. It's officially a new era, in my eyes, in the AFC East. A lot of people said it was a new era when Tom Brady left. I think it really starts today. Josh Allen is 25 years old. Tua Tagovailoa. Is that how you say it?
Sure.
Tua Town, 23 years old. And then Zach Wilson and Mac Jones, the two rookie quarterbacks in the AFC East, they sit at 22 years old as well. This is it. And the plan is from, you know, I think when everybody knew that Cam Newton was not going to be a franchise quarterback when he was brought to New England. This is it. All four teams have, or think they have, their future franchise quarterback. Now, knowing the Jets, Zach Wilson will be gone in 3 years. It's just how it goes. But all three of them, and the Dolphins might get Deshaun Watson.
I was about to bring that up. Yeah.
But, you know, I don't really know what the situation is with that because of
all
the...
We're going to touch lightly.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, like, they say, everyone is saying that the Dolphins are the favorite, which is fine. I don't believe the reports. But I just don't know. Like, if you're the Dolphins, like, do you want to... And I was the biggest advocator before the news came out of the stuff. The stuff that happened, the sexual assault claims. I was the biggest advocator to get Deshaun Watson to the Jets, and then all the stuff came out.
Yes.
And I just don't think that, like, you want that on your team. So if you're the Dolphins, I mean, Tua seems like he's going to be a stud. You know, why would you do that, I guess?
Well, let's think about this.
Because he's Deshaun
here.
Watson. As Jerry Jones says, if they could play football... Yeah.
Well, let's think of it this way. As Jerry used to say down in Dallas, if they're out of jail by noon on Sunday, they can play for us on Sunday.
So wrong.
So it is horrible and corrupt, and you can't apply that to what Deshaun Watson has going on. But still, it's one of those things where he's not suspended at the moment. He's not in jail. I don't even think he's been convicted of anything.
Yeah.
So it's just an investigation. So... If you are the Dolphins, why not? I don't think they're sold on Tua.
I don't think they're sold either.
No way.
But you watch Tua, and it looks like he's going to be something special. Like, I watched it with my own two eyes. He looked pretty damn good.
What worked at Alabama, I don't think is going to work in the NFL, which he needs to grow and figure that out.
Well, that's actually a good transition. Does that mean Mac Jones isn't going to work in the NFL either?
Alex, you would agree with me. Mac Jones is a different quarterback.
So much different, yeah.
Lefty, righty. So.
That's it. That's not...
Okay, there was much better analysis behind that. But still, Tua's a loose lefty. He's going to throw it in there, thread the needle. Offensive Alabama and in Miami is predicated off play action, wide open passes. We know the NFL isn't always that. Mac Jones, much more structured, much more pro style. But still... He doesn't have the weapons he had at Alabama. So it's a great question. But at the moment, I believe in Mac Jones more than I do in Tua.
Now, out of these four quarterbacks, and really out of these four head coaches, because I think, you know, Bill Belichick, obviously, he's the greatest coach ever in my eyes. I don't know. Do you guys agree with that?
Him or Bill Walsh, yeah.
Yeah, him, sure. He's the greatest coach ever in my eyes. So he's going to be their coach for a couple more years. Brian Flores and Sean McDermott, they're the coaches of the future for those two teams. They've proven that they're very good NFL coaches. In my eyes, Robert Saleh as well is he's the only, and we're going to get into this a little bit more next week, but if I'm being honest, Robert Saleh is the only person I'm excited to watch for the New York Jets this year. I am a huge Robert Saleh fan.
And he isn't even on the field.
Yes, exactly. That's how pathetic the Jets have been the
last couple seasons. I'm excited to see your punter.
Oh, Braden Mann, best punter in the NFL.
Yes,
that's going to be exciting as well. But all four of these teams have Josh Allen's new-ish. He's established, though. But, you know, really all four of these teams have new quarterbacks with their coaches for the futures. This is a brand new era in the AFCs that we haven't seen in a long time. It's been Tom Brady and Bill Belichick City since 2004. There was a little bit of an interruption between Mark Sanchez and Rex Ryan. But other than that, it's been all Brady Belichick to this point. Last year, it was Sean McDermott and Josh Allen. But all four of these teams are really starting on a clean slate here. And it's going to be really interesting, Alex, to see what this division not only does this year, but for years to come.
No, yeah, I think this... You know, I'm probably not a lot of people are going to agree with me, but I think the Jets are actually like a team to kind of look out for.
Wow.
This year.
Wow. No one's ever said that in this radio booth before, Alex.
I don't know. I like him. I like him. I think Zach Wilson's going to be the real deal. I don't think the Jets, I won't say they're good, but I'm not going to say they're horrible just yet. I don't think there's any horrible teams in this division.
That's interesting because I think the Jets are horrible. I think they're going to be bad.
I think they're going to surprise people this year. And I'm not a Jets fan.
And Lad's also a pretty big Jets advocate as well.
I was. I think I started the slump when I said they were going to go 11-5 years ago.
Yeah.
And just forget about it. They're going to steamroll for the next couple of years. But this is a team that went 2-14 last season. Probably should have went 0-16 if we really think about it. But if you are the Jets, I think your ceiling, I'll give the ceilings right now, 8-8. 9-7, that's your ceiling. That's a high ceiling. Dolphins,
Actually, it would be We got 17 games this year.
Oh, my bad. 9-8.
9-8.
8-9. Wow, the Cowboys can't go 8-8 this year.
Yeah.
But Dolphins, I think 10-7. Pats, 9-8, 10-7. And then the Bills, I think, have that 14-3, 15-2 ceiling. But the Bills also have a floor.
15-2 for the Bills.
Holy I honestly
crap, man.
Feel that all four teams can get a wild card. I think the Jets are low end on that. Pats, Dolphins, higher end on that. But I would not write off anybody because, Aaron, I want to say this to you. Zach Wilson could actually be good. I know you've went through so much.
Sam Darnold was supposed to be a god sent from heaven to save the New York Jets.
And he wasn't.
And no, he was the opposite of that. And Adam Gase is to blame. But, you know, I just can't do it anymore. I'm getting ahead of myself because we're going to have a very long discussion on the New York Jets next week, the week before football actually begins. But I just can't get excited for another Jets quarterback when I've seen this movie before. And Sam was supposed to be the final movie that I watched for the next 20 years. And it didn't happen.
No.
It didn't happen.
Sometimes it does not happen.
If I'm being honest, this division with Mac Jones at quarterback for the Patriots, Bills are number one. I don't think there's anybody denying that. I think, you know, the Patriots have work to do. I think the Dolphins have a little bit more work to do. I think the Jets still are a year, maybe even 2 years away. But I think it goes Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets at the moment.
With how much gap between the Bills and Dolphins?
15-2 for the Bills seems. What did they go last year? 12-4.
Yeah,
12-4 for the Bills last year. Yeah, I think they could win. What would it be? This it would be 13-4 this year.
Yeah, 13-4.
So it'd be 13-4, 14-3. Why are you here again?
I texted you earlier and said that we need to do Jakey's fun time. At the end of your episode,
yeah, but we're going to play a tune like Sesame Street? Like,
but this is our
on?
Show. You just like suggested it for our show.
And Vlad thought it was a good idea.
Well, Vlad didn't say anything in the group chat about
today.
It.
I have not responded to a single text message today.
I could tell. I texted you Chris Herndon got traded. Nothing.
No way. What?
Read from text from your producer.
I didn't read the producer's text.
He got traded to the Vikings.
For
a while. A pick?
Yeah, it was probably like a sixth or a seventh. But damn, that's crazy. The Chris Herndon era officially ends in New York. He was bad last year. He's, you know, people like to talk about Evan Ingram being bad last year.
No. Evan Ingram
was
bad.
Chris Herndon was worse. And nobody talked about him as much because the Jets were just so bad as a whole. But Chris Herndon was terrible. Like, so bad. It was a sixth?
It just says draft pick compensation from Ian Rappaport.
Oh,
Alex, you know what? By the way, this is Jake Johnson.
Yeah, Alex, this is Jake. Say yes. Hi, Alex.
I'm the producer of the show.
I'm Alex.
And host of the Hot Corner. By the way, Alex actually brought up something that we didn't get to mention, so I'm going to do it right now. We have breaking news out of the NBA, and it was from Alex. He didn't break the story. He just told us about it. Ben Simmons did what?
He requested out of Philadelphia.
So it's official. The Ben Simmons era is going to end.
Oh, calm down, Brooklyn in the corner.
Yeah, Gross is in the corner just, you know, watching the show. I don't think this affects the Nets at all.
No.
Like, not even a little bit. Like, no. It doesn't matter. It matters for Philadelphia. I'm interested to see what
I heard he's going to the Nets.
Well, that would be something, wouldn't it? What do you guys
what
think?
What a way to ruin a team.
We'll go around the horn here. What do we think we could get for Ben Simmons? Like, something actually good?
A French fry and then, like, a bucket of ice.
All right, relax over there.
Top 10 pick. First round pick.
And, like,
overrated
what
veteran player.
What... Yeah, what level?
Like Al Horford. Maybe.
What level of play?
Shut up! That's our trade pawn and everything.
It's Al Horford because he gets traded to every team in the NBA.
That's true, actually.
Yeah, Gross is saying Jonas Valanciunas.
I think a player like that. Yeah, I think they're gonna want picks if anything, though.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia is gonna want picks.
Aaron,
as well.
I think the Bucks have one choice here: Giannis for Ben. Straight up.
Oh no.
Yeah. I'm sure Milwaukee is signing
right Cleveland
up for that. I can
see Cleveland going after him.
That's
what a black hole.
And you could
that's
Colin Sexton.
I mean, that actually, that's a really good point. You give up Colin Sexton. Who's the other short point guard they got over
Darius
there?
Darius Garland.
Yes, Darius Garland. You give up one of them, Ben Simmons, and, you know, two picks.
Imagine that.
I mean,
Ben Simmons and Darius Garland bringing Cleveland right back into it.
I don't know. That makes sense to me. That doesn't make sense to the two of you.
Well, you know who has the most draft capital? I could see him going to Oklahoma City.
They have
so many picks, but it's a possibility.
They had to deal with the Russ nightmare for so long.
Yeah, and Ben Simmons, like, he's not as athletic as Russell Westbrook, but like similar in that he can't shoot. He's actually worse shooter than Russell Westbrook.
He's much worse of a shooter.
Well, I take back the word nightmare. I guess a NBA Finals appearance in three Western Conference Finals appearances and MVP isn't a nightmare, but it got ugly towards the end.
The Heat as well. That would be another team. But, like, who would the Heat give up?
They just got Kyle Lowry, though.
Yeah. They just got Kyle Lowry. I mean, Kyle Lowry would make
Udonis
sense.
Udonis Haslam.
Yeah, straight up.
straight up, one for one. Haslam for Simmons. I'd do it.
I think Haslam has more to offer to the Sixers' young players than Ben Simmons at the moment.
It's really funny how, like, Ben Simmons has just completely fallen from graces entirely. Like, he was supposed to be the next LeBron James.
I always said he was the most overrated player in the NBA.
And,
Never liked him.
Who even wants him in reality?
Well, it's just Brick City in the playoffs. I mean, he's 20-10 during the regular season, but it's scary in the postseason. Like, the backboard could break one of these times. It hits so hard.
He's
and it never
one
goes
for
in.
764 from 3-point line.
All right, well, that's just not true.
You ever seen that video? He makes like 4 3-pointers in practice.
No, was recent, right?
Yes.
Every year. No. The last like 3 seasons, there's been like a preseason video length of like Ben Simmons hitting like 4 threes in a row, and people are like, yep, this is it. This is the year. Like, he's going to be able to, and it never happens. It never happens.
The best is when he was at the bubble and he tried to throw the fish back into the water and he missed the water and hit the deck again.
He literally couldn't hit water if he was in a boat.
He's a walking mess.
Yeah, he's so...
It's depressing. I would hate to be a Philadelphia. I would hate to be a Philadelphia fan of any sport.
The whole city of Philadelphia doesn't deserve.
They deserve nothing.
No.
The Eagles, Phillies, the Sixers.
All of them suck.
Philadelphia FC.
Flyers.
The Philadelphia.
Do they have a women's basketball team?
The Philadelphia fans. The Philadelphia fans stink. The city stinks. What do they got over there? Cheese steak? Give me a break. You put steak on and
Philadelphia's
cheese on it.
Shining light at the moment.
Yeah, you know, it's the whole city of Philadelphia needs to, you know, burn to the ground in my eyes. I can't with that city. I almost fell out of my chair, and we're gonna end the show.
There was breaking news coming from Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that. That's going to wrap it up for today's edition of Sports Hour. Coming up at 4 o'clock, it's the Hot Corner. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. We'll be back Thursday. Make sure you tune in a full day of sports here on WNYL Sports. Women's soccer over on Stream 2 and volleyball at 7 over on Stream 2. And on Stream 1, it'll be myself for the pregame show and Jake and Ladd on the call for the first Oswego men's soccer game in over a year. It's going to be some exciting times. Make sure you tune in for that at 7. Have a great rest of your quarantine day, everybody.